The sun was setting in a sky of gold, and the bronze light suffused everything, gilding the endless forest, bronzing the stones left by ancient glaciers, and burning on the spear tips of the retreating army of the Alliance. The golden light set fire to the bright hair of the oldest Urks, and kindled the fur of the golden bears, its smooth faces deeply creased by terror and fatigue. Bill Redmead looked down the long column of weary men and a few women, and then looked at the strange golden sky. "Rain?" he asked John Clothyard, who was now to all intents his lieutenant. Nat Tyler had left him, killed the king, or so some said. Rickar Fitzalan had gone east to serve with Aeneas Murians as battle comrades or lovers or both. The Jarse-born Fitzalan had been a fine leader and the best second a commander could ask for, and Redmead missed him. He missed Tyler too. Instead, he had Greycat, who tended to wander off into the woods, and Clothyard, who was solid and dull. Clothyard was a broad man of middle height, and his looks weren't helped by a 4-day growth of beard.
"Rain,"
he responded. Redmead was so far past exhaustion that he didn't have to think much about his actions. He put a hand on the bow slung over his shoulder in a linen bag and trotted back along his jacks.
"Rain," he yelled. "Put your bowstrings in your shirts."
"Who the fuck are you, my father?" muttered one jack.
In a single summer of constant fighting, the jacks had dispensed with camaraderie and turned instead to discipline. Some resented it.
"I never wanted to be a goddamn forester," said another voice.
This was directed at the grim reality that royal foresters, the king's law in the woods, were the traditional enemies of the jacks, broken men and outlaws, and now they marched together, the last jack only 2 paces in front of the first forester. Not one forester or jack was so dense as to miss the grim irony that in the eyes of the world's powers, they were exactly the same, superb woodsmen and rangers. Sir Gavin, the army's nominal commander, had put the two bands together with some hundreds of Urk knights mounted on forest elk and Urk ponies, an armoured cavalry that could glide through heavy woods with the agility of wild deer. Together, they were a match for almost any forest foe.
"Keep your bowstrings dry,"
Redmead repeated as he trotted down the column. Not everyone was surly. Stern Rachel gave him half a grin, but she was mad as a felter and loved war. Garth No-Toes hummed to himself as he flourished a little beeswaxed bag. Most of these men and women had survived the rout after Lysen Carrick, had fought at Gilson's Hole, had marched west again to face Ash and his million monsters. They knew how to survive a little rain. He told them anyway. Tired people make mistakes. He forced himself up the rise he just descended, looking for the blank exhaustion that was like a sickness, looking for signs of people who hadn't drunk enough water. His thighs burned, but it was these displays of routine prowess that marked him out, and he knew it. He reached the top just as Long Peter and Gwillem Stair came over the crest, glanced back into the hell of Ash's army, and shook their heads.
"We fighting again?"
Stair asked. Redmead shrugged.
"Only have 9 shafts,
Stair said. Long Peter didn't speak much at the best of times. He kept walking.
"I hear you," Redmead said.
"Meaning we might fight?"
Stair asked.
"Meaning I don't know a goddamn thing," Redmead said.
He could see his brother trudging up the hill. The same irony that made the 2 bodies of men and their decades of enmity irrelevant in the current crisis was sharpened by the 2 Redmead brothers. Bill, the leader of a rebellion against royal authority, and Harold, his older brother, who had risen to command the foresters. That maturity had brought each to a better understanding of the other's position might have been the reason that the two bodies could cooperate at all.